Let us break their yoke. They say,
let us cast off their bonds from us.
He whose throne is in the heaven is laughing.
The Lord has them in derision.
Then he speaks to them in his wrath.
And his rage fills them with terror.
I myself have set my king
upon my holy hill of Zion.
Let me announce the decree of the Lord.
He said to me, you are my son. This day I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance.
And the ends of the earth for your possession.
You shall crush them with an iron rod.
And shatter them like a piece of iron.
And now, you kings, be wise.
Be warned, you rulers of the earth.
Submit to the Lord with fear. Lest he be angry and you perish?
For his wrath is quickly kindled.
Happy are they all
who take refuge in him.
Our second reading this morning is from the second book of Peter. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we were made to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, and with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you,
6 days after Peter had acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but every once in a while, you're watching your favorite TV show, and as the show starts, the car is driving off the cliff, or they're sitting in a cave surrounded by people with rifles, and you're saying, "Wait a minute. Last I saw, they were in their office and everything. Like, what is happening? Did I miss an episode? What? I don't understand." And right before it goes to the first commercial, it then says 6 days earlier, and it takes you back to where you left off, and you're saying, "Oh, I don't understand. This hurts my head." But the whole time you're anticipating what you know is coming at the end, but you don't know the resolution. You have to wait, like, what's going to happen? That's sort of like this Sunday. We're the last Sunday of Epiphany. It's the last Sunday after Epiphany, actually. And for the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about receiving the light of Christ and being the light of Christ in the world. For 6 weeks, we've looked at Jesus' baptism and, well, his birth, and the stars shining above him, and the angels filling the sky with the shepherds, the glory of the Lord shining upon them, saying, "Follow this star and you'll find the child." And then a little later on, the wise men show up, the magi, and they have been following this star, and they find the baby. This light, this brightness, continues throughout. But the next thing we know, it's 30 years later, and it's Jesus's baptism. And at Jesus' baptism, very familiar to us, as he comes up out of the water, the sky is parted, a dove comes down, and we hear the voice of God. You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. And then the next couple of weeks, we talked about the many ways that God's glory shines through Jesus and how we see that glory. At coffee hour one Sunday, I asked you to talk about what was your childhood image of God and what's your current image of God. And it was interesting conversations, as some people had this vengeful God and some people had this loving God from childhood. But how we see God now as an adult has shifted and changed some, matured, and we can see Jesus for who he is. We also, I asked you to send in photos, and we had a slideshow of those moments in our lives where it was an aha moment, where we see God. And in case you haven't seen it, it's posted downstairs in the parish hall for you to read all the responses. So we've talked over the last couple of weeks about how we see God in this world. But we're going to back up just a moment and talk about the first reading from Exodus, where Moses is out in the wilderness. They're just starting the wilderness journey after the escape from Egypt. And the Lord says to Moses, come up to me with me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction. And the shining glory of the Lord shone on Moses' face. And then it said the people at the bottom could see the whole mountain was shining. But they had been warned, do not go on the mountain, do not let any of your flocks or herds go on the mountain, or you will die. And for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses waited in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of God's glory, before receiving the Ten Commandments. And we know what the people were doing at the base, saying, I think he's gone. They weren't behaving as well as what we're supposed to behave. But they could see the glory of the Lord shining on the mountain. Today, we have the story of the Transfiguration. And what happens is we're zipping way ahead now to the end of Jesus' ministry. So we went from his early ministry, and it says that Jesus went up on the mountain, and as he was, he invited Peter, James, and John to go with him. And they're like, okay, you know, we followed him for the last 3 years, no big deal. And as they get up there, all of a sudden, Jesus' face is shining like the sun and the glory of the Lord, and he is transfigured in front of them. And then Moses and Elijah show up, and they're talking with Jesus. And I'm thinking, if I was Peter, James, or John, first thing I'd remember is the story from Exodus saying, if you go on this holy mountain, you're fried. So that'd be a little bit terrifying. More so terrifying, saying, what in the world is happening? I would be dumbfounded, terrified, my heart pounding, and saying, what in the world is going on here? And then while they're still just trying to figure out what's going on, then the shadow, the cloud, overshadows them, and they hear that familiar voice. This is my son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. As if they had any doubt before of who this was that they had been with for the last 3 years, I think that probably sealed the deal. They fall on their faces. They're absolutely terrified. And what does Jesus do? He tenderly touches them and says, get up. Do not be afraid. How in the world could they not be afraid after seeing that? But they get up and they look around and everything is normal again, and Jesus is alone, and they're saying, and then Jesus warns them, do not tell anyone about this vision until I have been raised from the dead. Now I'm thinking their entire worldview just flip-flopped around, like what, how, why? And what they know is that they're headed to Jerusalem with Jesus. What they don't know is that while he's there, he will die and then be raised from the dead. But in that moment, they have got to be totally transformed themselves, turned upside down, trying to understand. And I'm thinking it's a bit like stepping into a phone booth and finding Clark Kent and his cape. And it's like, well, you would never look at Clark Kent the same again. You would never look at the world the same again. And that's just Clark Kent. This is Jesus talking to Moses, the one who brought the law, talking to Elijah, the greatest prophet, who it was foretold that Elijah would return before the Messiah came. And here the whole story is playing out right in front of you. And so I wonder, why does it come right here? It's the end of Jesus' ministry, coming here days before Ash Wednesday. Because Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights in the desert before receiving the law. We're about to spend 40 days and 40 nights with Jesus in the desert, learning about his ministry. But instead, we hear this, see this vision of Jesus and his glory before we enter that time. And I'm thinking that we have all been transformed this Epiphany season, looking at God and how God has touched our lives, looking at that slideshow, writing on those index cards those three mountaintop experiences you've had, being more attuned to those God moments in our lives and saying, the glory of the Lord is shining upon us and through us. And the collect today talks about, grant to us, beholding the faith, the light of his countenance, may we be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed in his likeness from glory to glory. We are asking to spend this 40 days with Jesus, James, John, in the wilderness. We are asking to not be left on the bottom of the mountain watching what's going on. We're asking to walk with Jesus. And Jesus is asking us to take up our cross and follow him in these days to come. And my question for you is, in all the changes and challenges and terrifying moments of this life, how do you hang on to that light? Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and join together in saying the Nicene Creed, which can be found on page 358 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Page 358. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end.
life of the world to come. Amen. Prayers of the People is Form 6, found on page 392 of the Red Prayer Book. In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work,
for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone,
for this community, the nation, and the world,
for all who work for justice, freedom, and peace,
for the just and proper use of your creation,
for the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression,
for all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble,
for those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy,
for the peace and unity of the Church of God,
for all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth,
for our presiding bishop, Michael, our bishop, Prince Sine, and all other bishops and other ministers, especially Father Gary and Reverend Lynn,
for all who serve God in this church,
for the special needs and concerns of this congregation, Lord.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life.
Jennifer's good diagnosis.
We will exalt you, O God, our King.
And praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them.
Put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins. Knowing and unknowing, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Thank you.
it's going to come up. Yeah, I'm gonna have him bring it up now so I can explain to people what it is. Yeah, we're not gonna fold it up yet. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
So if you two girls would bring it up here and hold it up and be careful because it's still a little wet. Hallelujah. So let's say it together. Hallelujah. One of the last few times you're going to say that for a while. So can we tuck it right behind here? I'm not sure it would stand up on its own without, it's going to slide a little bit. But you see in front of it a treasure chest, because this is a word that we treasure. But on Ash Wednesday, well, right before Ash Wednesday, it's going to get rolled up and put in the treasure chest. And that's a word that we're going to save until Easter morning. So just a reminder, when you see that treasure chest, it's a word we treasure, but it's going to be tucked away for the next 40 days. Thank you, girls. You can go back to your seats. I like you sitting up here. So Jim and Karen and Marilyn, if you will come forward. If you've noticed the last couple of weeks, well, months actually, there have been people shadowing. They're actually doing the work wearing just the alb. But look at them. All three have now finished their training, according to Jim Grillo. You can come stand in front of me. And so we are going to bless the new vestments that all three new acolytes, chalice bearers, helpers have. And then we are going to commission them for the work that we have called them to do. A great multitude, which no one could number from every nation and tribe and people and language, stand before the throne and before the Lamb. He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Let us pray. O God, before whose heavenly throne your servants minister to you, clothed in white robes, accept these albs and surplices, which we dedicate for the use of your ministers of your church, that serving before your earthly throne, they may worship you in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now to commission these people, I present to you Jim and Karen and Marilyn, who have been chosen and licensed to administer the chalice in this congregation. The cup of blessing which we bless is a sharing in the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until his coming. Let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, that those who minister the cup of blessing may live in love and holiness according to your commandment. And at the last come to the joy of your heavenly feast with all your saints in light through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of God and of this congregation, I commission you, Jim and Karen and Marilyn, to administer the chalice in this parish. Amen. Okay, so Wednesday, we have a noonday Ash Wednesday service with a light luncheon. Carol, would you like to make an announcement? So two or three people to help with the setup, serving, cleanup for the luncheon this Wednesday which the luncheon will happen a little after noon. We will also have a service that Ash Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at night with the imposition of ashes. Both services have the imposition of ashes. The night service includes communion as well. So I invite you to come, and that's a day in the Episcopal Church. There are 2 days in the Episcopal Church where you are asked to fast, and it's Ash Wednesday and Good Friday. And so an invitation to think about fasting and prayer and almsgiving and self-examination this Lent. So even if you can't make it Wednesday, to start your Lenten practice. And there's some suggestions for that in your bulletin insert. Are there other announcements? Karen. Thank you. So there's the sign-up sheet for youth group that's going to be in 2 weeks, and we're going to have tacos. It's going to be Taco Tuesday on Sunday. And for those of you who know the Lego movie, that would be me, probably. And I see one person smiling. Two people. Taco Tuesday on Sunday. Three. Perfect. Other announcements? Yeah. Thank you. So this is going to be the fourth Friday of the month, family movie night. It is a family movie. You will love it. Come, bring your friends, bring your neighbors, bring whoever you want. Bring a meal with you. It's from 5 to 7, and it's a great movie. I'm sorry, I'm not going to be here, but thankfully others will. Which reminds me, Karen and I will be at the College for Congregational Development talking about the project that you and we have been working on. Please pray for us. Because that's a really intense weekend. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Eucharistic Prayer B continues on page 367 in the Red Book of Common Prayer, page 367. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death.
We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son and his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Thank you.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. All are welcome to this table. If you wish to receive the bread, simply hold out your hand. If you would like to receive the wine, please help guide the chalice to your lips. If you would rather have a blessing, just cross your arms across your chest. But all are welcome to receive. Prayer is found on page 365. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of
your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord.
Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.